Welcome to The Thinking Tree, a podcast to help believers renew their minds and reform their hearts. I'm Adam Sanchez.
And I'm Jeff Noe.
And today we are talking dating and courtship. All right, welcome back to another episode of The Thinking Tree. Jeff and I are here with our special, special other halves.
Very special.
Yes. Go ahead, Jeff. Introduce yours.
This is my lovely wife, Tanya.
Now, how do you introduce her at members' meetings, though? Like,
oh, the queen.
Do that.
Oh,
there it is.
It's the queen of Oak Hill.
Okay, my lord.
Yeah, my liege. Great to have you back here again.
My word.
All right. And we're here. I don't introduce you any which way, actually. I don't know. I'm sorry,
call
sweetie.
Her the queen.
I'm just here.
She is the queen of our house,
yes,
for
there
sure.
You go.
Yes.
She could be the princess.
The princess of Oak Hill. Mm. There we go. Well, it's great to have both of you with us, especially on a topic like this, because we know we need more than the voice of the men folk when we're talking about dating and or courtship. Okay, so today's question, how can Christians pursue dating or courtship? And I use that second one because some people are really sticklers,
yes,
on this, mm-hmm, topic. So I wanted to lump them together on purpose because I think we're talking about the same thing, even if there are nuances to what we mean by it.
Yeah, within our particular tribe, church tribe, if you want to put it that
go
way,
ahead.
There's a number of options, but courtship is certainly one of them. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
Okay, so here's the reality. We know this. There are so many different views on dating. I mean, you watch any TV show. I mean, I'm not going to make fun of The Bachelor or Bachelorette.
You should.
I'm just saying, yeah. I'm not going to, mm-hmm, pick on anyone. But there are shows like that. There are other shows like, you know, Meet Them for the First Time. I think there was one with Arranged Marriages recently.
Married at First Sight.
Yeah, so, Love is Blind.
Yeah. Love is Blind. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's TV show front. But before that, I mean, for decades, there have been books on how to date before Christian websites existed, or not, just websites in general,
yeah,
existed.
Online websites.
Before that, there was even like the wanted ads. I mean, there's so many views. The Ask Annie or whatever that was in the newspaper all those
that's
years
old
ago.
School.
You're welcome. That was a callback for you.
I think eHarmony was like the first big one.
It really, it was one of the big ones. Yeah. So before all that, it's been such a thing, particularly in like a Western society, but there are so many views. And then from that, you also have Christian views, you, mm-hmm, know, and from various tribes, as you, yep, mentioned, yep, different denomination, different backgrounds, different views of how to go about dating. You know, arranged marriages, we don't get to do that much anymore. Some of us wonder if that would be easier.
Just not in this culture. Other cultures still do it.
Yeah. Other cultures do. Yeah. I just actually met somebody in Africa recently who was in an arranged marriage in Uganda, believe
wow.
it or not.
Wow.
Like, mm-hmm, as of like 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm, got married in Uganda.
It can work.
Didn't know each other. Anyways, that's a story for another time.
Wow. Yep.
The reality is those influences in our life, whether we've had sacred or secular influences, they are going to have an effect on the way that we view dating. We know that. Those, mm-hmm, things that affect us over time, they impact how we view life and how we should respond. What we're talking about, the concept of either dating or courtship tonight, the purpose of that is we want to help build a conviction, a biblical one, but we also don't want to be so narrow that we say there's this one way to do it, and if you don't do it this way, then you're somehow in sin, out of orthodoxy, when the reality is you don't have one biblical passage or set of passages that say you must date this way. Mm-hmm. But there are principles for sure about, right, what can be helpful and good, but honestly, dating wasn't even in the Bible. Not like that. I mean, right, the closest thing we get is like, what, Jacob trying to, mm-hmm, right? Like,
yeah, with probably
Laban and all that. Anyways, that's probably the closest. So we want to help build some convictions, but from God's word, and also point out feelings and preferences that aren't necessarily clear principles, just so we can be clear,
yeah,
and be charitable with each other, but also be encouraging about good principles in dating. So I want to lay out for us here, and you guys can share your thoughts on these. What I see is three kind of groupings of approaches to dating or courtship. And I think these are all within the realm of a Christian can be faithful in each of these. So the first one I titled nondescript.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is it's dating in its most culturally understood manner. You know, when we say the word dating, it's like, oh, I think we all have an understanding of mm-hmm. what that means. I don't think it needs a real definition, but so I put nondescript. It's the traditional understanding. Yeah, the cultural norm where the guy asks the girl, he's polite and respectful, open the door, you know, be, you know, call first, you know, all those things.
Right.
It's not necessarily that there's a roadmap to that kind of dating, but there's interest. The guy is interested in the gal. He wants to get to know her. He wants to pursue her and spend regular time, you know, together, you know, because he's interested. And so I call that nondescript or traditional dating.
And she said yes.
And she says yes.
That's you know, important.
They get she's to, into it.
Yeah, because it's not dating if she says no.
Right. Although, you know,
it's just rejection.
Wouldn't you say that even what you just described, which I think is great, is actually falling out of favor? Right now, it's a little less formal than
Whoever asks. And,
well,
yeah,
it's very random and, right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem. I think we need to, if anything, we need to get back to at least that traditional level where there is
some kind of intention,
exactly,
right? Yeah.
Right.
Even if there's not a roadmap, there's an intention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's what I would kind of label the traditional, the nondescript approach. Then the next one, I had to label it something because it's not quite that courtship model,
right,
but it's maybe somewhere in between.
Yeah.
So I just put kind of this intentional, maybe call it intentional traditional. But it's similar to that nondescript, but maybe this person, really it's usually the guy, but sometimes a girl can have that desire that it'd be like this, has more of a roadmap of like what she wants. So it's more than hanging out. Maybe she has a preference on, hey, you know, ask my father and check in with him. Or maybe there's some personal convictions on how much time can be spent together, you know, boundaries, things like that. But all I'm saying is in that there's kind of more of a bit of a roadmap and a strategy to it, even though these are all personal preferences. It's not like they have a roadmap that they, you know, I mean, maybe they do, maybe somebody wrote it out, but it's not like they're following a book. They're just saying, hey, these are things I want to see in my dating relationship. And so some people have those preferences and things that they want to, you know, work towards, like, you know, and they're something that's interesting. I actually just thought of this after we wrote the outline, but I was thinking, you know, there are some differences when we're encouraging older believers than younger ones.
Mm-hmm.
There are some differences there because there's more established life.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are different components where they might be like, I want to know what they do for a living and do they have savings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, do they own property?
How's their credit?
What's their credit report?
What's their credit score, right?
That was me.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not, those are things aren't bad to know, you know, in different seasons of life can be very telling about a person's testimony.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're 18, 19, 20, they're none credit history, they don't own property, you know, those kinds of things. So there are some nuances there. And then the most kind of formal, I think, is that courtship model where you have more of an old-timey, right? We might call it that.
Yeah.
More of an old-timey approach of that very specific asking the father, the parent for permission. You know, they're kind of already having those conversations about potential engagement and marriage, like very early on. So it's not, if that first one on traditional dating is more of, hey, I like you, I want to hang out with you, you're not saying, and I want to get married in 6 months.
Right.
Then on this one, on the courtship side, they're actually probably saying, I really do want to get married within a certain time. They're putting that up front. Like, here's I'm very serious in my intention.
Again, by agreement. Both of them are interested in that model. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So those are kind of the three, I don't know, camps I would put out there. I'm sure there's more nuances, but any thoughts on that before we continue?
Yeah, no, I think those are good categories. That middle one, more than just hanging out, I think that's a really good description. It's we're going on a date. We're not talking about marriage, but we're asking serious questions. We're saying,
yeah, getting to know each other.
Because I don't want to necessarily waste my time going on multiple dates. I'm asking good questions. I'm doing analysis in my head. Is this somebody that could work? But we're not talking about marriage yet. Mm-hmm. So I think those are three pretty good categories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I personally think that all of them can kind of be part of the same relationship.
Sure, like a different season,
right? Yeah,
as it progresses.
Yeah.
Progressive.
Yeah. I know years ago we went to see a movie that Grant scored called The Dating Project.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about level one, level two, and level three dating. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like this.
Similar to this, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know the courtship model would say level one and level two are not necessary and that you go straight to level three. you know, come and ask dad and it starts there. But I think that there's so much to be learned in each of these levels or categories, if you will, in dating.
Yeah.
And just real quick, I think the courtship model usually comes from certain types of homes. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, mm-hmm. the parents will sort of lay that expectation on their kids early on and say, "Look, if you go away to college or when you're this age and you start dating, just know this is our expectation." And oftentimes, you find it's because they went through that. Mm. Or they got married really young. Like you hear this a lot.
Some regrets.
Dad was 20, mom was 19. Yeah. And so they recognize as their kid even turns that age in their early 20s, we don't just date casually. This is if you're going to go on a date, I want this courtship because that's the way we see things. Mm-hmm. But that's not the only way. It's an interesting option. That was so far from my life. When I was growing up, when Tanya and I met, I was a baby believer, right? So that I would have thought that was straight out of Footloose. Like, what's going on? Even Tanya's upbringing to me was like, "What? What's going on here?" It's so.
Yeah, your boys at UCLA would have given you a hard time.
Exactly. So, it's not for everybody, but it is for some families. Yeah. It makes sense. But
and if both people are coming from that background, it probably even makes more sense.
Right.
You know,
correct.
Usually, it only cause friction if it's one person's preference and then the other doesn't have that frame of reference.
Right.
Now you have hey, why is it that way? Yeah. And do we need to be that strict?
Yeah. But I know there's some churches that will foist that upon their people as almost coming close to making it a biblical requirement. Mm. And that's not something we want to do.
Well, and it's not necessarily they both came from that. Maybe they didn't. And maybe my parents were not believers when they got married and then they got saved and it was very conservative. So as the person at the table who grew up steeped in purity culture, which is what we're talking about, this is where I'll say, that's what the expectation was there, but not because it was what they experienced, but because they experienced all of the awfulness of sinful, selfish relationships, which honestly, I mean, it's very interesting to grow up in it and to be their oldest child to walk that pathway anyway. But I think even being more removed from it, there's a lot of criticism of purity culture. A lot of people swinging the opposite way and rejecting any kind of biblical sexual ethic because of it, which is an overreaction there. I can look at it and say, I get it. The world largely dates for status, and sex and personal self-interest.
Right.
And often the church was falling into that. And so it was an overreaction where they said, we've got to be so different from the world, which the church should be different from the world. Absolutely. Right. But then it was just taken to an other extreme there.
A guilt-driven model.
Right. I mean, I think there's a lot of really valuable things from it, but a lot of it was just held up as super, not super scriptural, not scriptural, but held up as scriptural there, So here's a good way to apply scripture. Now it's the only way to apply scripture,
right?
So there's wisdom in all of those things. You know me, I'm always going to come back to what does the Bible actually say?
Yep.
And then can you apply it? Can you apply it well?
So along those lines, it would be great to hear from each of you your thoughts on just practical encouragements for that season, you know, whether we're calling it dating, whether we're calling it courtship, but what are some encouragements? I mean, we are around young people all the time, particularly, and it's not just young people, older people can also go through relationships as well. But what are some of the practical ones that you give when you're talking to those who are either looking to be in a relationship or already are in one or just saying, help? What do I do?
I'm always, when I meet with young men who are interested in it, I'm always pushing them back towards that traditional model of, look, you almost, the word practice is too much, but you need to be around the opposite sex. You need to learn how to do this. So don't be afraid to ask somebody out and take that initiative. That's what a man should do. Do it in some way that is almost, again, formal is the wrong word, but you're going to call, actually, those phone things you have, you can actually make a phone call.
What?
You can.
How many minutes do you need?
Don't text her. Like either see her in person or call her and say, look, I'm interested in taking you out, and then go out and don't lay expectations on it, but go out and get to know this person, ask good questions, and again, practice is too strong a word, but you have to learn. You know, you might have to go through 3-4. 10, 20
of these. How many was it, Tan?
Of these dates before you know, right.
A lot.
So, you know, you need to get out there and do that. And for the guys, that's my advice is you have to take that step. Show her right out of the gate that that you're a man. Mm. and so you're willing to take that initiative.
Pick her up, throw her over your shoulder, right?
No, right.
Okay.
Oh, but lead, oh. You know, take the leadership.
The Bible, a Bible story there. That was fun. Yeah. No, yeah. I think that's great because that leadership should begin on day one.
Yeah.
And what we see in our culture is that often men don't know how to be leaders.
Right.
Right.
So I think it's a very good encouragement to say, hey, take the lead, go and ask. And the answer may be no, or you may go on that date and be like, maybe not.
Maybe not. Right.
And it's okay because the commitment's not there. You can keep, you know, moving forward.
But even in that,
encouraging that.
Even in that, we should be able to counsel young men about how to
be respectful and
how
kind.
To be respectful to say, I'm not interested, but. Yeah.
But, without being rude and being a heartbreaker.
Don't ghost people.
Yeah, that's not great.
In the kingdom of God, ghosting people?
Yeah, that's not great.
It's not going to end well for you.
Yeah.
No, so for the young men listening, they should come to somebody that can help them with that.
Jeff@oakhillbible.com. Oh, my. From our ladies, what are some of the practical things you encourage?
I would say to take a deep breath. And remember, God's got this. Mm. He has somebody in mind for you. If he is intending for you to be married someday, he literally already knows who that person is. He has not just the right person, but the right time in mind. So you might think, I'm 19 and I'm ready for this. And God might say, no, you're not ready for it till you're 27 years old, like is what he said to me. Mm. And it can be a very difficult time if you're just pining for this thing without having the patience and the wisdom to say, I trust that the Lord's going to bring the right person in the right time. And I did the opposite of this. I was in that frantic place. My head was on a swivel. I was constantly just looking at every single person, like, could that be my husband? Could that be my husband? And it was not me walking in trust between me and the Lord, just knowing that he's going to take care of me and he's going to get me there. So that's the number one thing. Second thing is, I would say, is to be open to what the Lord does bring to you. I was rather picky. I was feeling desperate when I was in my early years, but I was also picky. So I would look at something, oh, no, for whatever reason, you know. And I got to a place where I realized that about myself. Okay, who am I to say that I won't go out with somebody that, you know, maybe he's a great guy, you know, and I'm judging this wrongly.
So that's how you got in?
She lowered her standards, and then,
but I actually, my resolve to that was, I'm going to go out with anyone who asks me on a date. Anyone who asks me a date, I'll go once.
Yeah, with an
I'll
open
go
hand.
One. Yeah. And then just see, you know, what the Lord does with that. I went on a lot of dates. Most of them didn't turn into a second date.
Losers.
But boy, did I have some really nice people that I met, some friends that I made, and people that there wasn't a romantic thing there, but I still, like you said, learned from going on those dates of just what's good dinner conversation. Now, back in those days, we didn't have phones.
Yeah,
but
no distractions.
I would have watched, you know, does he have his phone on? Does he walk away from the table to take a phone call? Does he seem like he's more interested in this? You know, that it would have been very enlightening to if we did have phones at the time, but we didn't. So we were forced to sit face to face, talk to each other, you know, get a phone call at night if we wanted to say goodnight. We couldn't text it. So there's an art form, I would say, to dating somebody.
That's good.
And socially being in that setting and you're getting comfortable in that.
Yep.
And so the more you do it, the better you get at it if you want to. Now, I'm not advocating going into serious relationships with a gazillion people, but that dating to get to know somebody and be open to say, if this is who the Lord has for me, I'm going to be open to receiving that rather than judging that person or writing them off because this isn't the right time in my life, or you know, you're not good enough looking or whatever. So I would say, trust the Lord and then be open to what the Lord has for you.
That's good.
I'm along the similar lines, is that trust the Lord and also relax a little bit. I think there's a lot of freaking out that I see from ladies, regardless of position or what is happening. There's a lot of angst and worry and fruitless overthinking about things. So calm down. What does God's word actually say? What is your job? Is it your job to worry about the future and all answer all these different questions that God has not given you the answers to right now? What is your job? Your job is to love the Lord and to love others and to serve others and to one another others and all of the brothers unbeliever, believing men in your life are your brothers, including if you're dating one, that's your brother, first and foremost. Treat him like a brother. Honor the Lord. Honor your parents, which can be tricky if your parents have different, you know, perspectives and things like that. Honor that other person, and get some accountability and get some counsel. Sometimes we are overwhelmed by our emotions, good, bad, and otherwise. Mm. And our emotions are not necessarily based on what's true. So find somebody who is not in your shoes, either desperate to find someone or madly in love with somebody. Come talk to Tanya and I. We're not in love with him. We'll tell you. We'll tell you the truth. We'll tell you the truth. Get somebody who's sober, because it can be
someone who's not drunk.
Yeah. Yeah, come talk to someone who's not drunk, and we can I help you with that, and just honestly assess things. I think too many decisions are made off of emotions. Too many decisions are made off of fruitless worrying. And even not being like honest with yourselves too. Mm. It's maybe a little bit practical early in the episode for it, but I would say be honest with yourself and with, if you're in a relationship with somebody, not just because we want it to look a certain way, right? So we're talking about these models. And so you might in your mind be disdaining a specific model. I line up over here, so I don't agree with that over there. But is it for appearances? Is it for like, what is your actual relationship? So not that we're pushing purity culture or courtship. It's great if you want to do that. Mm-hmm. Our relationship was probably more along those lines. But I will say that we talked to a lot of couples who were just not honest in particular about their physical boundaries and what was really tempting to them, because they didn't want to seem like a prude.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
We did not kiss until our wedding day. That is a purity culture takeover that we had. I'm not sorry for it, but we have received ridicule for that, which I think is interesting within the Christian circles. And then we've talked to a lot of couples, and I have never talked to a couple who said, I wish we had gone physically further than we did before we got married.
Right.
I've heard a lot of couples say, I regret that we didn't place stronger boundaries on our physical relationship because I wasn't honest that this particular thing was tempting for me.
Yeah.
So be honest and get that outside help if you need it.
Yeah, that's good. Are we going into practical stuff like that?
I mean, yeah, that was the question. You guys dig in.
I think it's really important when you're dating to really carefully consider your priorities.
Mm-hmm.
What are you actually looking for? Are they biblical? Are they good? Are they just based on unbiblical things? You know, your
just a physical attraction
exactly,
or something.
Yeah. Right. Your feelings. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you really look? I mean, there should be feelings. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes in the Christian community, we swing the pendulum. I go, your feelings
don't
matter.
Show me a spreadsheet. Right?
You don't have to actually be attracted to this person if they check all the other boxes.
Yeah.
But it's a good exercise, I think, for young people to make that list and say, what am I looking for? And I would include both. You should be attracted to that person. There should be some feelings. Should be a little, can I say, the fluttering of the heart?
Sure.
A little bit of that?
Yeah.
But then what is that the top thing? Probably not. We want to talk about what does their walk with Christ look like? What are the desires of their heart? And these are questions you've got to dig in and find those things out.
Mm-hmm.
And even ask other people that know him or her and say, well, what's the track record of their life?
Mm-hmm.
Because the fluttering is going to ebb and flow, right?
Yes,
yes.
And it might not even be there in the beginning.
Right. But the commitment level,
looking at me like that.
Oh, my
sorry, that was,
oh, if you could have seen that.
You should have seen the side eye there.
That was not for me. That was...
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the side note to that story what you're talking about is for Jesse, and you can share more if you want, but in the beginning, she didn't have that with me.
Right.
So, you know, I was pursuing her. I was attracted to her in so many different ways, and she didn't have that for me. And it wasn't until a certain point that changed.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, she held her hand open, like you were saying, Tan. Mm-hmm. Like, she was willing to keep going through.
Yep.
And it was when we were a world apart, you know, literally on opposite sides of the world, when in time and space and through godly counsel, reading God's word, reading a book from Alexander Strzok. Right?
I know.
That changed her perception, and that's what brought then the little fluttering and the little butterflies.
Yeah, the character is what brought that out.
Right. Yeah. We place importance, and not that it's not important, but we place higher importance on things that are really not that important.
Yeah.
Attraction, sure, it's important, but it's also not always going to be there.
Mm.
And the person that you marry is not the person they're not going to look the same after babies right. and stressful jobs right. and what? Years right. and wrinkles and pounds right. and all. So like, sure, sure. But also recognize that that should hold an appropriate amount of weight.
Yes, yeah. correct.
Their That's relationship dangerous. With the Lord and yeah. how they love and serve others and how they handle their money. Yeah. Their yeah. character, how it right. turns out. That's so, so much more important
right. Right.
Than those things. But we get drunk on the yep. attraction right. and then we can't see yep. clearly. Yeah. So,
but at yeah. the Let other the, end, it can't just be, this can't just be a business arrangement.
Well, right. I wouldn't have married him if it hadn't ever showed up.
Right.
But
right.
I did
she
feel
guilty. She was getting ready to cut me out.
No, I did feel guilty because I was like, I just don't, it, I had no good reason to say no.
What
fear.
You just
fear
really,
was the only reason and that's not godly. So yeah.
right. what you said though is really important. You weren't going to marry him unless that came about. So it started with character. It started with Adam as a man, his walk with the Lord and all those things. And then that developed and that's what was sort of the...
Yeah, but the character really like bled into that though, okay. which yeah. affects that yeah. more than we like to... I mean, this yeah. is a sidetrack, but we could talk about how attraction is super cultural.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. How people in other cultures are attracted physically to other things because that's what's culturally expected. So what we think is very particular about me, I'm not attracted to so-and-so and such right. and such, is really conditioned. Mm. It has really nothing to do with innately, ontologically, who I am as a person. I said it before Jeff did.
That was impressive.
Just went it's straight very, for it.
It wow. It's malleable. It's yeah. pliable. So yeah. as you get to know somebody's character and they do have a good character, attraction is born from that.
Right.
Yeah, I would say attraction is in the realm of preference.
Yes.
It's not wicked. Right. It's not wrong. Right. And then it's going to be different for everyone.
Right.
Even from people who are mm-hmm. of the same culture even.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you could be from the same culture. I mean, like we talk mm-hmm. about California here, you know, blonde or brunette. Mm-hmm. That's part of the culture down here, right? Like mm-hmm. that's dynamic.
Yeah.
But that's here, you mm-hmm. know? It's so it's going to be, even when we're from the same county, the same city, it's going to be different. It's just preferences.
Yeah.
You know, we all have those. And those are real though, right? We all have real preferences. You know, I know so many people and I've been one of them who's like, I want to focus on dating people from this culture. Hmm. And and like, I couldn't envision early on, being with somebody who from my two blended cultures that I have, right? super duper white and like pseudo Latino, right? be my background. And I couldn't envision being with someone, Jeff's laughing at me right
oh
now.
Oh my goodness. Let's go down this road.
Yeah, I couldn't envision being with somebody from one aspect, but then there was a season when I could only envision being with somebody from one of those cultures. And like, that's the dynamic. And now I'm with somebody who's from none of them,
well, and that's
which is fantastic.
Is that a surprise to you, Jeff? We're both multi-ethnic,
right.
biracial, if you will. And right. yeah, when we grew up, we didn't see people like us. So right. I thought my options were a black guy or a white guy.
Right.
I was
right.
like, I didn't even know any other half black and half white guys like right. me. Like I wouldn't have ever envisioned that even. So the fact that I got to marry someone who is also multi-ethnic and understands on that level was not even something that I set my sights on. Mm-hmm. The Lord was so gracious to provide that because it's not like something we would seek out, but there is a level of understanding that we yeah. do have growing up between two cultures.
That was my question. Did yeah. you seek it out or was it just something that when it happened, it's like, oh, this is fantastic.
No. Yeah, it was more of that one.
Okay.
Like, yeah. oh, this fits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I think part of it too comes down to our goals. When we start dating somebody or even just start contemplating dating somebody, most people think the altar is the goal and that should not be the only goal or the highest goal necessarily. And in that, sometimes we get desperate of just, I got to make sure he likes me. I'm really worried about how I look right now. I'm really worried about how much I'm eating in front of him. I'm really worried about all these
a
things.
A lot
I'm
of
trying
expectation,
to
right?
win yeah. him and then keep him and make sure he loves me. And that's where we go way, way wrong, I think. That's where we start to compromise. Mm. That's where we lower our standards. That's where we can really get muddied up. I think that one of our goals should be our ability to be discerning. Mm. Discernment is not something that we talk about a lot at all. And it's really a spiritual discipline that is very, very important. And this is the only time in your life here with this person that you have the ability to say, my discernment says I should walk away from this relationship. Because once you get to that altar, you cannot say, my discernment says I need to walk out yeah. of this marriage.
Yeah.
So here in this place, when you're first dating that person, your ability to grow in discernment, to be able to see things, to see, oh, that's a red flag. What does that mm-hmm. mean? How am I mm-hmm, supposed to appropriately mm-hmm. handle that now? How do I know if he's really sincere when he says he's sorry, he won't ever do that again? I mean, those types of things you learn. So discernment needs to be a goal. Wisdom needs to be a goal. Mm-hmm. These needs to be things we're praying through. And self-control needs to be a goal. You need to have that goal for yourself, and you need that's to good. See they have a goal for that too. And it's not just self-control and purity as far as physical purity, but there needs to be self-control and mental purity mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. And so when you're looking at these relationships that you're going out with this person, if you can walk away from somebody that you've gone out with after 3 months and say, I am more discerning, I am wiser, and I was able to exercise self-control, or I didn't and I see why I didn't, so now I know next time mm-hmm. how to, all of those things, that is success in mm-hmm. my opinion. You have learned and you have grown in these things that will benefit you when you actually meet the person that you're going to marry someday. Yeah. You are going to say, oh, I'm better in my marriage because of that relationship. Mm. Mm.
Yeah. You're triggering a quote that I can't remember who said it, but it was something along the lines of, the purpose of dating is clarity, not intimacy.
Mm. Mm. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And so it's clarity. Yeah. Is this a good match? Mm-hmm. Are we going to go to the altar or are we not? And right. that the success of a dating relationship is clarity.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And spiritual growth. I mean, like you said, mm-hmm. you can grow spiritually in many ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Even in a relationship that doesn't end in marriage.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad you mentioned that, Tan and Jess, is a good quote, because I do think we put a big expectation that we have to land the plane.
Yeah.
Like every relationship you started has to land the plane. You're not guaranteed that.
Right.
We talk about I joke about this, but it's like, try before you buy, that's really what it is. It's before the commitment.
Yeah.
You haven't made that full commitment yet. So like you were saying, Tan, you can say no still, mm-hmm. You're in the dating time. If things aren't working out and you're picking up on red flags and you're like, I don't know if I want to be yoked to that forever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can say no. Mm-hmm. Like when you're dating, you can't say no after mm-hmm. you say I do.
Right.
Like you got to keep saying yes. So I think that is an important distinction that we in dating are not committing to marriage. We're saying, can I commit to this person?
Right.
That's the question. Mm-hmm. Can I commit to this person long-term? You're figuring that out. So you're growing in discernment and wisdom. A couple of the basic things I always encourage, be a student of the other person. Mm-hmm. So really mm-hmm. then that's with the discernment, right? You're paying mm-hmm. attention to how they live. How do they live around you? How do they live around other people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really important to watch them interact with others and to see in different scenarios, how are they with their friends? Mm-hmm. How are they with family? How are they with your family? How mm-hmm. are they, at church, all these different venues, how are they at work? All those things. Who are they? Not just who they present you to be or present themselves to be.
Right.
Because there's that, like put the best foot forward.
Between the lines.
Right. And you want to see that, the different areas of life. I think also there's a lot of times when you keep saying drunk with love, drunk with feelings.
Yes.
Clarify that. Not just drunkenness. But I think in that, when we're so led by feelings, we're not going to God and asking him for help. So like in the wisdom, mm-hmm. in the discernment, in the guarding of heart and the self-control, that prayer needs to be normal.
Oh, yeah.
During datings, I mean, all of life, right? But especially during a dating season where you're asking God, you're submitting to him, God, if this doesn't work, help me. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the goal isn't that, God, make it work. Like if you're praying that, mm-hmm. that's the wrong prayer to have.
Right. Yep.
Instead, God, help me to be discerning and be wise, to guard my heart from being overly given to this person. And, those are good things. Always helpful to involve others in your relationship. And we love this, being part of a small church body where we're involving other members, right? Like, hey, go over to so-and-so's house, have dinner and talk to them like, hey, how did you interact with so-and-so? And, invite them in, to speak into your life and to share their observations that they see with others. And Jeff, you hit this really hard in terms of paying attention to character.
Mm-hmm.
Character is far more indicative of who a person is than just their words. Because they can tell you a lot about who they think they are, their strong stances on theology, and I'll stand here and die on this hill, and all that. But what you're going to see is, do they really? In how they live, their character is going to show, do they take these firm stances? And maybe that's not helpful as a reality. Like maybe they talk a big game, but in reality, they're actually very weak and they don't have convictions, mm-hmm. but they talk a big game. They're armchair theologians, something like that. Or maybe they're just, they talk a big game about being, I have visions and dreams for the future and I want to be, so driven. And then in reality, you look at what they're doing with their life.
Yeah.
And you're going,
right. You know, something doesn't add up here.
Right.
You know, right. How you don't have enough zeros in your bank account to say you have that many dreams and visions. Like, you know, and not that money is a be all end all, but there can be a pie in the sky mentality that especially younger people have for their yeah. future that's just not seen in their character.
Right.
And so it's important to measure who they actually are versus what they say. And character is really important. A couple of things.
And time's the thing that shows that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody has standards, but until those standards are tested, you don't know if they're really going to hold up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when you have dated somebody for 3 months and you go, I'm in love with him, I'm going to marry the guy, you have not had time to see if everything that he puts out there in front of you is true yet. You just haven't had enough time. So I know a lot of people are, you know, let's rush and have short courtships. And I just don't think that there's wisdom all the time in that, because you just haven't had enough life experience to be able to see all of those different facets of that person's life, because it takes a while for that to come out.
People can put on a pretty good mask for a couple months. They're pretty capable of that.
Well, I think it's even indicative of this principle that I encourage. I skipped it, but since you're pointing it out, I think if possible, it's really good to be friends with somebody before you commit to a relationship, if it's possible. Now, not every situation has that as a possibility, but if you are able, that's why, you know, Jeff, you were talking about being friendly with the opposite sex, getting to know others. If you're in that environment and you're friendly, you can actually see them
observe other dynamics where
maybe you're not best friends with them. You know, it's not like you're hanging out all the time, but you see their life and you know others who know them. And so that helps with what you're talking about, Tanya, of getting to know them outside of just the relationship dynamic, see some heat in their life, how they respond when hard things happen. Because it may not be with you, but maybe you saw them respond to something else that occurred, you know, in life. Right. So if it's possible, being friends is really, really helpful.
And college life is not real life. People need to know that.
That's a mic drop moment.
I mean, it is a great time of life. I thoroughly encourage people to date while they're in college. But you do not know the long game for this person's character and diligence and work ethic and all of that when you're just watching them study for OT class. Mm. I mean, you just don't know what they're going to do in their job.
She said it.
Well, why pick the OT?
Amen. Okay.
But it's
or NT.
And when you're and I understand it, because it's hard, because you're at the time in your life where you think, oh, these are all my choices, and what once you graduate from college and you walk away from that environment,
adulting,
you will have the adulting part is hard, and your prospects for potential dates drops dramatically.
Sure.
So there's a desperateness of just like, I'm here, I've got to find them now. But then at the same time too, having the wisdom to say, but this isn't maybe who I'm seeing long-term for this person. So it's wise to say, we can give it some time, or let's wait till after we've been out of school for a year and watch those things. So it's hard. I know it's a hard thing, but you really do grow up a lot after you get out of college.
That's good.
I can say that.
Okay, as we wrap up the episode, any other final chiming in of thoughts that you want to offer, any of you? Going once?
No. All right. Just whatever scripture says. Amen. What does the Bible say? And then get some help. Someone who's not
all right, Jeff, any closing thoughts from you?
Well, I mean, do you have any examples from the Bible that we can talk about?
I mean, I was going to wrap up with a couple here.
Oh, do it.
Adam's got the character study.
Yeah, I mean, so big picture, and we talk about this often. The reality is scripture does not speak to directly about, hey, here's how you date here's what it looks like, which is why I think it's helpful that we presented a spectrum of ways and approaches, and any one of them can be good. And like Tanya said, sometimes like you can start with one and you're actually progressing through, and growing, and that can be beautiful too. But big picture, men need to lead well. That's what we see. Ephesians 5 is so helpful of a passage to set up what marriage is. And so when we're looking at dating, men should be growing up into that, learning to lead well like Christ. And women are learning to submit well, but not just under the men, but under Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're working on and trying to figure out during that dating or courtship time. So it's really a season of figuring things out. And the reminder that you gave, Tanya, not every relationship will end in marriage. So we need to take it not too seriously, you know, not have those heavy expectations like, well, you know, but my life plan, I got to get engaged by this point, and then we're going to be married, and then we're going to have kids at this point. And you start working all those things out, and God never promised you any of that. So don't take it too seriously, but you know, take it seriously enough. Really get to know the person, not just the portrayal that they give. And I'm thankful that you mentioned this too, as well, Tanya, guarding the heart, you know, that self-control, not giving yourself over inappropriately before marriage. And we're not just talking physically, but even just in your heart, like in your inner person, struggling to not give yourself over and say, well, this is God's will for me. It's like, maybe, but until you say I do,
right,
that's not clear yet. So we're working towards that. You know, affection is good and appropriate, but I have some specific examples for guys and gals. So ladies, here's what I would encourage you with. You guys can chime in as well, but I would challenge you, look for a Boaz. Look for a godly man who leads in sacrifices, who is marked by that Christian service of washing his wife with the water of the word, serving others. You read in Romans 12, 1 and 2 about being a living sacrifice. Is he others focused? Yeah. Does he live as a living sacrifice? Philippians 2, 1 through 11, submitting self for the needs of others, considering others more important than self. Is that his character? Yeah. Not that he's perfect in it, not that he takes, you know, that he's the best, but does he show it? Does his character show willingness and a desire to that end? Because for the ladies, you're committing to follow him. So if he's not a servant leader, then you're committing to follow potentially a very prideful man who expects you to serve him and wait on him and be his table mate, essentially, rather than his helpmate. So that's what I encourage with the men. Any thoughts on, or the ladies, for the men? Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think this idea that when you're looking at this man, he's not always going to be the perfect leader you would like to have, but you've got to see that first of all, he understands that role and he wants to take on that mantle. And if he's not a great leader right now, that he wants to grow in it, but at least there's that acknowledgement that, yeah, that's going to be my role in the marriage. And so is he followable? That is so important for ladies. Yeah.
And that's where discernment comes in here, because like we said, once you're in marriage, you have to follow him. You have to submit to him at that point. So you're not called to submit to somebody while you're dating. Mm-hmm. That is important to remember.
Yep.
And when you're dating somebody who I would say is less than 30 years old, he's not going to be very good at this at the beginning.
Probably not.
We have to learn leadership. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that societally our young men are taught well right now. So there's going to be some tripping over their own feet for a while. Are they humble? Are they willing to apologize and say, I didn't handle that one well? And maybe if it happened again, I think I would handle it this way. Like, oh, okay, I can see that this guy's practicing leadership. I'm not having to require to submit to him. But in a dating relationship, I would say when you can submit to him, do it. It first of all builds him up as a leader. It affirms to him, oh, I did that one right. Oh, she's willing to follow me. Oh, I mean, there's just so many great things that come from that, but you're not called to it. So when he says, this is what it means to love me and we got to go to bed together, you do not have to submit to that. Period. You don't have to. This is the time where you can say no to that. So we want to know, like Jeff said, you want to be able to see the potential is there to grow into good leadership. And that's one of the main things, girls, you have to be watching for is the potential. Because once you're in that marriage, if he's a bad leader, you're in trouble. And, I mean, it's tough.
And a Philippians 2 heart, I would add. You know, just you see in him a love for Christ, a love for his church. He's you know, we almost give lip service to the Ephesians 5 picture of laying down my life, right?
Yeah.
As Christ loved the church. But no, actually, yes.
That is the call.
That's what we want, right?
Yeah. I'm echoing. I just phrase it a little bit different. And I tell my gals this who I disciple, do not say yes and get engaged to a man who can't submit. Not submit to you, who can't submit to authority, period. Right. If he is not a member at a local church where he is submitting to leadership who he might disagree with, if he leaves a church every time he has a disagreement, if he leaves a job every time he can't handle what the boss is doing, if he leaves the church,
if the problems are always the other person.
He has no business asking you to submit to him if he does not know what it is like to submit to godly leadership.
Red flag.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Now, so for the gentlemen's, you know, the easy cheater answer would be look for a Proverbs 31 woman.
Woohoo!
And she's pretty perfect. Good. She's pretty cool.
And she's awesome, by the way.
She's beautiful.
And we can talk about other times. Is she a real woman? Is she an idealized woman? I think real woman. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. Anyways, so that's the easy answer. But I have specific other ones too. So in the Old Testament, you have Esther, what a fantastic example of somebody who a woman who served, used her role, position, was patient in that service too, and willing to lay down her life.
Brave, right?
Yeah, courageous. Right. Yeah. So Esther's fantastic. And then you read there's quite a few women that are commended specifically by Paul, actually, in the New Testament church. You have Lydia, you have Phoebe, you have Priscilla. I'm not going to tell you all their stories. Go read about them. Sometimes it's just a quick little blurb about them. But what you're going to see with all of them is there's a love for Christ and a love for others, caring for others. Those are so critical. So gentlemen, as you're looking for a godly woman, does she love Christ? Is she devoted to the church? Is she serving others? If those character traits are there, man, a lot of other things can grow. A lot of other areas of life can grow. But that right there is the standard. Any other thoughts on that?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're looking for somebody that, again, I'm going to say it again, understands the marriage role, understands the helpmate role, mm-hmm. but also, I'm just going to say it, not a doormat either. You want, I mean, I'm looking at Adam, we're both married to strong women. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Nope.
Right? I mean
some days are hard. Just keeping it 100. Right?
Wow.
Just keeping it 100. Wow. But amen, I wouldn't have it any
right,
other
to
way.
Right, to be challenged in many ways. But you want to hear her also say, I understand, and I want to follow you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to have that. That's absolutely essential if you want to have a successful marriage or you want to be in conflict all the time. Understand your roles. Know what you're walking into. And I know that comes through in our premarital, which is important. But even before that, make sure that you've nailed that down, that's what she
be
wants
convinced.
To be.
Be
right.
convinced
is to be that helpmate.
Right. And as the old proverbial story that the opposites attract, there definitely is truth in that. Because you don't usually have two really strong people that are attracted to one another because, fireworks break out all the time. So
except
you have
at this table. Except
for us, yeah. The exceptions are sitting next to each other.
No, I would say Jeff and I are very opposite. When you have a very strong woman who's been raised to be that way, she's more likely going to be attracted to a lesser strength as far as in some areas. Not to say he can't lead and... but Jeff, I would say, is naturally more of a type B personality, and I'm more naturally a type A personality. So when you have that set up in marriage, going into marriage, it is going to present so many challenges. I'll speak from experience, so many challenges along the way. So if you are a strong woman out there, I'm going to challenge you now in this place of dating to start working on laying that down, because the enemy is going to use your greatest strength and make it a weakness in your marriage, because you will be stronger than your husband at times. It's very hard to respect a man who you feel you are stronger in any particular area over, and it will just rot the foundation of your marriage. So you have to come to see that, yes, the Lord made you a strong woman, or maybe you've been raised to be a strong woman, but you got to see that that could be a detriment in your marriage, and you need to still look for a strong man and be willing to follow a strong man, not argue with him, not, buck up against everything he says, but you need to start practicing trying to be softer and laying things down with submission. And submission to one another, not just in dating relationships, but to other people too. It's not easy for somebody who's strong.
And what that looks like is a simultaneous him stepping forward and she intentionally stepping back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you get that order correct.
Yep.
And it's not an easy path, but it's a necessary path.
Mm-hmm. Keep hearing it over and over again.
Yep.
Can he lead? Can she follow?
Yep. Yep.
Right. I mean, I would just add that along the lines of the strong woman and all of that kind of stuff, when Jeff, you talk about being a helper, right? In scripture, helper is often referred, the word that's used to refer to the Holy Spirit. You're not going to ask somebody to help you in something that you're already awesome in. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask somebody who's better than me to help me in this particular type of a way.
Right.
So to even think about that as you're looking for a wife or a life partner, you do want her strength. Her strengths are going to be your aid. They're going to come to you. So wherever those are, while there is always capacity to sin, right, in those things, to recognize that as your helper, all of the strengths that you see in her as an individual, she's going to bring. Because we're talking to the guys still, right? We were talking to the girls before. So we're talking
we're done with the girls. Girls don't get anything.
look for, recognize those strengths, right? Your wife should be your first counselor.
Mm.
Does she know God's word? Does she love God's word? Does she serve well? Does she give good biblical counsel? Because when you're going to fight the world and fight the battles and all of that, and you're going to come home and she's probably the person who's going to see the weakest, most vulnerable part of you.
It's true.
And that's intentional by God's design. Yeah. So is she the type of person, does she have a solid walk that when you falter, when you doubt, when you royally mess up, is she going to be there bringing you back to God's word as well? That'll be an asset to you. It'll be an asset to your children. It'll be an asset to your ministry. You guys will walk in that together. But as you look up these stories of these women, you're going to see a lot of that. You're going to see wisdom, and you're going to see industrious hard work and a love for God and a love for his people. That's what you want.
Yeah, it's a suitable helpmate. So she's the corresponding puzzle piece. And you're just a puzzle piece, and you got these holes. So fill them with the corresponding piece.
Wow. Whoa. So what I'm hearing from you guys is...
I got racy.
Find the absolute best human of the opposite sex. Date them enough, but not too seriously. And at the right time...
This is so easy.
At the right time, God will supernaturally help that to move into marriage. That sounds like an easy recipe,
right?
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic. No, but I think these are all good principles, and we want to put them in front of everyone because you don't aim low, right? You don't set the standard at the lowest rung in terms of your own personal standard, not even the standard for the other person, but your own personal standard, your understanding. So I think it's helpful to put these thoughts in front of everyone. I think maybe in the future we can take an episode and talk about what do you do when things aren't lining up?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What do you do when the discernment is coming through and you're thinking, uh-oh,
right.
Yellow flag, maybe not a red one, but yellow. How do I walk through a yellow flag?
Yeah,
I think that would probably be a great episode in the future. How do we walk through yellow flags when we're in relationships? Because the red one is pretty easy, you know, cut and run. But kindly, maybe we need to talk about that too.
How
to do that well. But definitely, how do you work through the challenges that come up during the dating season? I think there could be a lot of wisdom looking at that. All right, well, we've exhausted our time for this one. Ladies, thank you for joining us on this one. Jeff, always good to be together.
Oh,
right? Yeah. Friends out there in the hinterlands of the, what are we on?
Interwebs.
We pray this conversation has helped you to renew your minds and reform your hearts. We'll see you next time on The Thinking Tree.